CliffCentral.com.
Please note that the views expressed and the advice provided in this show are for general advice and entertainment purposes only. Nothing stated should be treated as a substitute for your own independent legal advice based on your own specific facts and objectives. Therefore, the presenter and CliffCentral.com accept no liability of any nature whatsoever, either expressed or implied.
Law, like you've never heard it before. The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg on CliffCentral.com.
I'm Gary Hertzberg, and this is The Laws of Life on CliffCentral.com. We are in Johannesburg, South Africa. Alongside me today, the very exuberant Lionel Makokotlela. Welcome, Lionel. The joys of summer, is that what's exciting you right now?
Oh, yeah, Gary. Holidays are just around the corner, and today we've got a lovely guest, and I must say, she is just super hot. And I'm just looking forward to the show.
Absolutely. Lionel is passionate about life. That's what I like about him.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
he's good for the show.
You've got to be passionate about something in life. Or if you're not, honey, you're going to die.
Today we have a two-part show. First up, we chat to the, you said she's hot, she's beautiful. She's a business transformation and brand strategist. She's a coach. She's a speaker. She's co-author of an international bestseller. She's paid top dollar for her advice. And the good news is that today you get a mahala.
Oh, yeah, no, true, because you know what they say. As a lawyer, you would know that every time you talk to people, you got to bill them. And today we're getting it for free.
Yeah, we are getting today mahala free of charge, Mickey Rootman. Welcome. Lovely to have you in studio. Thank you for being here.
If I may add, she's from Pretoria.
Oh, as well.
In the East.
Yeah.
Hello, Pretoria.
Yeah, Lionel also. Yeah. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. The second segment later on will be on equestrian polo, the king of games, it's called. And it's becoming a sport for everyone. We're going to be joined by Mark Coppen, founder member of Inanda Polo, and Craig James, polo manager in Inanda Club. I look forward to that.
Are they going to invite us to the polo?
I hope so. Yeah. Our Twitter handle?
At Hertzlaw.
Yeah, H-E-R-T-Z-L-A-W. And our Facebook page, The Laws of Life with Gary Hertz.
Please do like the page and just give us any feedback, whether you've got positive, negative. Any contributions are very much welcome, and we will take it into account and really get back to you. Thank you very much.
Good. The lovely Mickey Rootman, she's a business transformation and brand strategist, as I said. She coaches, she speaks all over, she travels worldwide, she's an author, she's guided hundreds, if not thousands, of people to transform their businesses very positively, and people hang on to every word she says. So we got her today. She's also about to win an award, or has been nominated, or I'm not quite sure where it is. We'll talk to her about that. It's quite a substantial award. So once again, we're very, very grateful that you've joined us. You've said, Mickey, that branding, and more specifically personal branding, can elevate a brand from unknown to in demand. Tell us a bit more about that.
Absolutely, Gary. I think, especially in South Africa, we're really catching on to what branding is and the power of branding itself. I mean, here's you sitting across from me. We don't know each other at all, and I think you just went on social media, if I'm not mistaken, and you got a whole lot of information about me. So your branding that you put out there, whether it is your personal brand or your corporate brand, is 100% the message you're putting out there about what you're about as a company or as a brand itself. So I think that the fact that we've woken up to that is absolutely making a huge impact on businesses. And the reason why I say it can go from unknown to in demand is you can have an absolutely phenomenal product, an absolutely great business, a service, anything that you're offering to someone. But if they cannot find you and they cannot immediately see what you stand for as a company and what you offer, it actually doesn't say a lot. You actually lose that client, because we're moving in an online space nowadays where a lot of people are doing things digitally and nothing's happening face to face anymore. So you've actually just got a couple of seconds to grab somebody's attention and to convey that message of what your brand stands for.
So while we're talking, let's ask our listeners to have a look at your website. It's beautiful. It really, really is powerful. And you can't easily get in there. I think I had to register and give my email address. We'll talk about the cleverness of that. First of all, let's give out the website detail.
Okay, it's www.mickeyrootman.com. That's MickeyRootman.com.
And then the Facebook page that aligns with that?
They can just search for Mickey Ruthman. It should come up.
Okay, so let's talk about your website. You don't easily get in. You look, you see, it's enticing. As you want to click and get more, it says, hold on a second. And then you've got to give your details. Does that kind of get people to shy away because they don't want to give their emails? Or do you think you're getting maximum? Or is it because you can't get it that you want it? How does this one work?
What that is called is leads generation. And what we try and do, look, a lot of people call it list building, which is a word I don't like, because if you're list building, you're literally just building a list. Mm-hmm. But if you're generating leads, if you're generating people who actually want to follow you, what happens is you get their details, but what a lot of people do, or a mistake a lot of people make, is they take somebody's details, they add them to a database, and then they start spamming them with hundreds of emails. Mm-hmm. And I equate that to when you're meeting someone for the first time, you know, in a relationship scenario. If you're meeting a girl for the first time, you're not going to ask her to marry you on the first date because that would scare her off. And what we're trying to do with that specifically is obviously to get them to sign up, to start building a relationship with them and to show them what I can do before they actually engage with me and start doing business with me.
What about the people that say, I don't want to give you my email address because I know what's going to happen. You're going to spam me. Are you getting less hits, do you think, to the website or how does it work? And is this something that, well, obviously you're doing it, so should we all do it?
The specific pop-up you're speaking about on my website that asks whether you want to sign up actually says that you can sign up for free tried and tested strategies that come from me. Mm. So it's not a matter of sending out spam. They can see immediately that they will be getting value add that will be sent to them. And at any time, they can opt out. So they're opting into something knowing exactly what it's about. And it's really just about sticking to what you say you're going to do with that segment of your website. If you're just going to start spamming them with, I'm selling this or I want to give you that, that's not what they signed up for. Then you're going to lose them.
Okay, if I may talk to you personally, we're a bunch of lawyers. There are a lot of lawyers that listen to the show, fortunately. And one of the mistakes that us lawyers make often is that we think we don't have to market ourselves because we're too bright or too good looking or whatever it may be. And I think we're making a mistake. Do you have lawyer clients?
Absolutely. I've got quite a few.
Okay. What should we be doing as lawyers? How do we get our message and our brand out there?
Well, the first thing that I think any profession, including the lawyers, need to realize is that because we live in a space where there is so many business people out there. I mean, back in the day, it was easy. You had face-to-face contact with someone. You were maybe the only lawyer within a 2-kilometer radius from where your practice is. Mm. And nowadays, in that 2-kilometer radius, you've got about 4. So you've got to do something to be different. You've got to stand out from the rest to make people say, why you, as opposed to the other lawyers that are 5 minutes away from your offices? And branding is a fantastic way to do that. And I think in the legal profession specifically, the guys are starting to get more exciting brands coming out of that. Because I think back in the day, it used to be, you know, all the old, the heavy colors, the things that went along with a legal profession, like your dark reds and your dark blues. And, you know, that was the look and feel that they went for. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of firms out there saying now, no, they want to be young and funky and more professional, but just change the game a little bit. Because there are so many guys out there, why you?
Yeah. Do you get lawyers to go out and market themselves as well? Do you tell them, go here, go there? What is the, I mean, I don't want to, I should be paying you for this, but what is the real tip of the day that you can give us lawyers?
They will never have to do face-to-face sales. That is where we're in a very privileged world that we're living in now with digital media especially. Mm. And the easiest way to do that, to get your message and your brand out there once you've established what that is to then decide which platforms you want to be on and show yourself as an expert in the field, because there's so many other guys out there. And a simple way to do that, for instance, is to create a blog spot on your website, where you can actually go and write blogs about specific things in your industry. Mm. Again, not selling something to them. If you could, let me think of an example of one of my clients. Their customers are your business orientated guys that they work with. And what I suggested to them is don't just write about legal stuff, because your end user that you're trying to get to your site is a business owner. And business owners are interested in everything from marketing right the way through to what the law says about business. Mm. So if you start writing short blogs that give them tips, things to look out for, blueprints that they can use, you know, value add to those people. Yeah. It positions you as an expert in your field, firstly, and secondly, they will keep coming back. At least they're building some relationship with you as well.
Mickey, let's talk about face-to-face. I sit in the company of lawyers and non-lawyers, and at the table you'll get a lawyer who brags about the case he did last week and that he won. And he took this legal point and he beat the opponent and no one saw the point and he's the only guy who knows about it. A lot of people are impressed with this at the table and they may well gravitate towards that lawyer for their next case. Or is he bragging? Or is, you know, when is it bragging and when is it good marketing?
I think to an extent, look, as South Africans specifically, we're very scared of bragging, if I could put it that way, because we see branding as bragging. And at the end of the day, it's not really bragging. It's showing people what you're capable of doing. But there is a fine line. I think there are people who take it a little bit too far. But absolutely, you've got to show your successes. You've got to show what your successes were, because that is what shows people what you are capable of doing and what you have done before.
Yeah. So I think the bottom line is, yeah, talk about it. You don't have to brag about it, but just tell people. There's a celebrity lawyer that I sat in the company of a year or so ago, and he was talking about, he does divorces. He was talking about the latest maintenance matter that he did that's gone to the High Court, et cetera, et cetera. And people wanted more because a lot of people can identify on maintenance issues. And he was impressive. And I was wondering whether it was he irritated anyone or whether he was getting a lot of business from it. And I think you've answered the question. Yeah, Lion, do you want to say something?
Oh, yes. No, certainly. I just want to add to what she's saying, because I think the most important thing is also, as a lawyer, you need to really identify your speciality and also start saying who then your customers are going to be and what sort of medium are they using. For example, I used to also be in the PR within the legal field, and my client was actually an intellectual property specialist, and the target was actually more inclined with the likes of 702 listeners and so forth. So we would actually try to punt him there so that he can really start speaking about the brand and also what he does, and that would actually draw people to come to the law firm to consult. And you'd find that actually most people, the moment you start really going to a certain media platform, people are more gravitated to actually come to your office and really consult with you.
Cool.
Yeah, it's all about finding the right platforms, Lionel. You're right. And if I could just add something else,
please,
about what you asked earlier on is, you're talking about bragging itself. And sometimes you're going to be saying what you do as a brand or what you have done as a brand. But the best way to showcase what you have done is exactly what Lionel's just explained. It's either through blogs or through speaking on radio shows, doing things to show your expertise and your knowledge, but also to get some testimonials from previous customers, because it's always better when somebody else says what you can do as opposed to when you say what you can do.
Yeah. Mickey, when I was growing up, my mom used to say to me, just be yourself. Everything else will follow. Just be yourself. Is that old-fashioned advice? Do we now, in order to brand ourselves, do we have to be what we're not?
No, please not. Because if you do brand yourself as something you're not, somewhere it's going to fall flat.
Yeah.
It's a little concept that I like to call, I must just think now because I'm on radio, it's branding versus BS. Because at the end of the day, you're branding yourself. But if you are branding yourself as something that you really are not, somewhere people are going to catch on to that. And it's not going to work out good for you.
This is what Mickey has said. I love it. She says, oh, you've quoted this. You said the following, the essence of normal is being just like everyone else in how we look, what we wear, what we like, what we buy, what we watch, where we go on vacation, what we do for fun. Being normal is safe and easy. It doesn't require much work or effort or change on our part, but it always leads to mediocrity. When we strive to be just like everyone else, we never have a chance to be special. What are you saying there, Mickey?
That you've got to differentiate yourself from other people out there. We're all unique as it is anyway. I mean, we were made unique. And if you're just going to go with the flow, you're definitely just going to go with the flow. But if you're the one swimming in the other direction, people will start taking note. So you've got to stand out.
Yeah. I sit opposite a woman. She's beautiful. She has a body to match. And I'm not saying this lightly, but you're very powerful. And if you sat opposite me as a businessman, I would love to do business with you. The way you sit, it's very genteel and very professional. You make the right eye contact. You could learn. We can all learn from this. And this is very much part of what you are saying. This is how you brand yourself.
Absolutely.
Lovely to watch, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, it really is.
This is Benji, our researcher. Benji, you want to ask something?
Yes, so I'm personally speaking, I'm 23, just finished my university degree. coming into the radio industry, and obviously I'd like to be like the greats of Gary Hertzberg and Gareth Cliff, of course. Where do I begin with my personal branding? How do I start? Where's the starting steps?
Okay, Benji, so first question, do you want to brand yourself as a radio personality?
Yes, correct. Yeah.
Am I correct? Yeah. Okay. So the first thing I would say to you is you need to, I think Lionel said it earlier on as well, is decide exactly who is your target customer. And the big mistake a lot of us make when doing that is we look at what product we're trying to sell them or service we're trying to give them as opposed to what's in it for them. They're looking for what's the benefit for them. So you first got to identify your target audience, where are they now and where would they like to be? And then what journey are you going to take them on to get them there? Because that is going to help you establish exactly who your tribe is that you're looking for. Because once you know they're in a certain space and they're looking to go somewhere else, you know where to go see where they're playing because you need to be in their playing field. The second thing I would recommend for you, you're obviously starting off very well working at a place like Cliff Central.
Thank you.
Not just learning a lot, but also co-branding with a lot of other professionals that are here as well. Co-branding is a big deal because you are building up a repertoire of photographs, people you've spoken to, people you've worked with, that actually does add to your credibility once you start becoming a radio host. Sure. So definitely keep doing that. The third thing I would say to you, I don't know if you've done that yet, is to create certain platforms like Facebook pages, etc. You don't necessarily have to decide now what your brand is, but start putting some stuff up there. I don't know if you were hearing us earlier on when we spoke about blogs and things like that. Is if you, for instance, want to become the guy that the younger people look up to when they want to become a radio DJ, you need to start taking them on that journey. You need to start documenting things like 5 ways to become a radio DJ, 3 things you've got to remember when on air. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely,
The stuff that your guys want. And that positions you as an expert in that.
No, sure.
So those are definitely ways that you can use to start branding yourself now already.
100%. Thank you so much
for that. I love what you've said as well. You said one woman can rock the world, but together we can make a difference. It's one of your mantras. So you've written a book, and how you got to it is quite fascinating. It's called From Fed Up to Fabulous, an international bestseller, right?
That's right, within 2 days.
Wow. How did this come about?
It was a very interesting journey, Gary. I went to America to a business conference last year, November. Mm. And there was about 800 attendees there from 51 different countries. So even though we had 4 days, it's quite difficult to get to know everybody. I mean, there's 800 of us. And for some reason, I met these ladies, some of them very briefly. The others I only heard speak on stage, telling a little bit about their stories. And when I came back home, these specific ladies that I contacted resonated with me somehow. I could see their hearts. I could see what their passion is. I could see that they wanted to inspire women and that they had a story to do so. Mm. So what I did is I contacted all of them and I said to them, look, I've got this idea. I've got this project I want to put together. Are you in? It was a very short process from there, but pretty much everybody bought in and we went ahead and wrote the book. Wow. And each one wrote a chapter. And these are all very, very successful ladies from 6 different countries. They're all in business, but they all have a story to tell.
From Fed Up to Fabulous, online only, or can you get a book? Is it a hard copy or no?
At the moment, it's only online, but we are looking at going to...
How do we get a copy? How do we get to read this?
You can go and have a look either on Amazon. You can search for From Fed Up to Fabulous.
Okay.
Or you can go directly to the website, which is fromfedup2fabulous.com.
Outstanding. Is this not a man's world?
I've had a couple of guys actually give me some feedback after reading the book. So I think we are touching a few of the male audience as well, but it is mainly for ladies.
Okay, there's something I want to ask you about, the Intelligence Millionaires Network. What's that about?
If you haven't heard, where have you been? You need to be on social media. The Intelligent Millionaires Network. I'm one of the co-owners of the Gauteng chapter of this global network. We're already in several countries around the world. It was started by world number one wealth coach, JT Fox. And what the network does, or our aim with this network, is actually to get your business owners, those who are already successful, those who are still busy building businesses, your investors, everybody in that sphere to actually get to know each other, network with each other, share their networks and start doing business together so that we can help elevate each other's businesses and start growing as entrepreneurs. We actually started this year in April with the Gauteng Club. We're already on just over 160 members. So it's growing quite rapidly at this stage.
Okay. Sorry, Lion, you go ahead.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I just wanted to actually comment on the network, because they are very proactive in terms of really being informative and actually sending me emails every single, like twice a month I get emails. On
are you on the women's chapter or the men's chapter?
The men's chapter.
Okay.
You just said. Yeah, but it's a very great platform because the stories that people, the testimonies that they tend to share, it's very profound and really things that most people tend to go through, but you don't know how to actually overcome them. But then you can liaise with somebody who can teach you because they've walked through the path before you.
And Lionel, that's something we try and do as well. Part of the reason why this club was started is exactly that, so that we can not just learn from other millionaires, but also create them.
No,
so we are learning from people who are more successful than us as well.
Mickey, your clients are who?
My clients are quite diverse. It's mostly corporate clients, obviously, but they range everything from your accountants to your lawyers. You name it, we've done it. There's quite a few in the lawyer sphere, funny enough, we spoke a bit earlier on as well. Yeah. But it's everyone in the corporate world, anyone who's either got an existing brand they need to refresh or that they're not sure how to brand themselves, or obviously a new company. A lot of them are new entrepreneurs as well starting out.
Okay. There's something you've been nominated. It's an award. It's quite a big one. Tell us about that.
I was nominated by Woman of Substance for the Woman Entrepreneur of the Year Award.
Yeah.
The email, I'm not sure, the email read that it was for inspiring other female entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm. And when do we get the result?
Awards ceremony is taking place in March 2017.
Oh, we've got to wait a while. People that come here win awards, you know. Oh, we had the South African Bachelor of the Year.
Yeah. My date.
Yeah, he won it.
Yes,
yeah.
He did.
Oh, marvelous. Yeah, he was here a few weeks ago. And he was, he won.
No, best of luck to you too.
Thank you. Yeah.
And just, Nikki, before we part, can you please just emphasize the importance of actually having someone like yourself within the strategic planning of an organization going forward? Because most of the time, people tend to do their own strategic planning, but they never include
Good question.
You, and they
yeah.
want to include you
yeah.
later on.
Yeah.
How important?
I think it's extremely important for the simple reason that not just when you're in a business, you don't see certain blind spots. I mean, I myself have advisors, even though I'm a strategist. I have advisors and coaches myself because me being in my own business, there's blind spots I don't see. Mm-hmm. Your vision is there, but it's not always as big as somebody that from the outside can see it. So I definitely recommend it, and on a branding side especially, because I have a lot of entrepreneurs who get to me and then they've actually started creating brands. And I mean, they think a brand is just a logo. But when you start digging a little bit deeper on a strategic level, you find out things like the color they've chosen is the complete opposite message that they're giving through as a brand, as opposed to what their values are as a company. I've had a client, for instance, who he told me what the name of his company was, and he's already registered the company. And I said to him, that's fantastic, but what does it mean? And he said to me, in vendor, it actually means someone you look down on. And he's an auditor, and he wants to start an accounting firm with auditing and all of that. And I said to him, there's conflict in your message, because if you're ever going to work with a vendor people and your brand or the name of your company means someone you look down on, you're in a trust industry. So you cannot have that conflict. So you need some strategic help, specifically not just with establishing what your brand identity is, but ensuring that it is consistent in your message going forward in everything you put out there.
How important is what you wear, your attire? How should you be?
It's extremely important. First impressions last.
Yeah.
Definitely. And what's happening nowadays, for instance, let's assume you saw me now, you saw my Facebook profile, but when I showed up here, I looked totally different.
Yes.
It is your brand you're putting out there. So if it's first contact with people, second contact, doesn't matter. It's still going to be consistent.
There's a move away from formality. Men now don't wear ties that often. Do you advocate a suit and tie to a business meeting or?
I would have to say it depends where you're going.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to the Intelligent Millionaires Network, I would definitely say wear a tie, because it's that caliber of person that you'll be dealing with.
Yeah.
But if you're going to something a little bit more casual, absolutely, just still wearing a jacket and a collared shirt is fine.
If you walked into a lawyer's office or an accountant, would you like to see him in a suit and tie, or would you be happier or as happy opening?
Again, it would depend for me on who his clientele is. Because if he is dealing with high, you know, high-powered corporates, absolutely, they're going to expect you to be in a suit. They're going to trust you more.
Today, I mean, when you, I go to a lot of business meetings, and I try and solicit business as well. And I go to meetings, the guy that I see 9 times out of 10 is not wearing a tie and nor a jacket. If I walk in with a jacket and tie, it may be power dressing in his mind. It may be a bit irritating to him. Is that a concern?
I guess it depends on whether you're the recipient of this you know, meeting, or whether you're the person going looking for business.
I'm going looking for business.
If you're the one going looking for business, absolutely, you've got to look the part. Whatever you are selling, you've got to look the part. Because if you had to show up there and try to sell to him that you are a high-powered corporate that deals with other high-powered corporates, you've got to look that part.
Yeah. You find that interesting, Lance?
Oh, no,
yeah.
Certainly it is. And just to echo to what
it's so important that we have this discussion.
No, it's very important because sometimes also people tend to not pay much attention to color, because color also plays a critical role to other people. When you wear certain colors, to them it means something else, but to you it might have been like an innocent thing. So those are just some of the things that I think this is where having someone like Mickey in your company would actually be.
On that note, Lionel's got a bright purple shirt, a silky purple shirt. He's dressed for radio, isn't he?
My God, I'm not sexually frustrated, if that's what you're asking.
We've been talking to Mickey Ruttman. She's wearing black. She's all in black.
And browns, the
beautiful
letters.
Beautiful, sleek black hair. She really is a pleasure to deal with and to look at. And I'm sure doors are open for you. They say looks and sex sells. I'm not suggesting the latter, but it does make it easier for you when you...
No, certainly it does.
With all this good looking, I'm sure.
It's only going to take you so far, is what I always say.
Well, you want to open the door, don't you, Mickey?
Yes, I think in terms of opening the door, well, to be honest with you, when it comes to spending money, a corporate is still a corporate. If you're a serious businessman, it comes down to, I'm not going to spend money with somebody that I don't trust. So they might, I mean, here and there, they might take a meeting just because you're a good-looking girl. But when you start speaking business and they actually see you know what you're talking about, that is where it turns the table.
I mean, I don't want to be shallow about something that's serious, but if any woman were to see you today, your hair is beautifully groomed, it's sleek, your dress is great. Palesa, our controller, is looking at you, and you know, you walk in and you do make a statement, and it is a person that one would want to do business with. Yeah, right?
No, she is. I mean, it's very professional, very not too... It's not over the top. It's just very...
And this subtle. Is the branding that you talk about. You know, we kind of just don't even look at these things, but we should, because subconsciously, by sitting here and being dressed and groomed the way you are, it's something that's appealing to the client. Yeah,
it's very it's subconscious. I mean, that's what Lionel said earlier on as well. By the way, I would not recommend that to a first meeting when you're trying to sell something, you wear red. Red is a power color. They're going to think you're there to dominate them.
Thank you. Thank you for highlighting that.
You're 100%
correct. What should one wear, black? If you're male or female?
Black always makes a statement. You can give a bit of a touch of a color with that. He noticed my tan stilettos that I'm wearing today.
Hello.
They just break the... I'm corporate, but I'm still in a creative industry, you see. Yeah. So it speaks of my brand as well at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's been a lovely discussion. This is Mickey Ruttman. Please have a look at her website. I did join, and I put my email address in, and you haven't spammed me. It's been a pleasure. I think you sent one email. Thank you for having a look. And I've learned a lot from looking at it.
That's lovely.
And your Facebook page, great. Great stuff. I think we can all learn a lot, and we have today as well.
No, we have. Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, we're very grateful.
Fountain of wisdom.
Yeah,
it was lovely.
And good luck with that
nomination.
Thank you. I'll let you guys know.
Oh, please do, please.
If it carried on, all the winners.
Yeah, no, please don't break the chain. You've got to tell us that you want it.
Yes.
Yeah. We look forward to seeing you again, Mickey Ruttman.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. CliffCentral.com.